While they're leaving, I'm going to introduce our speaker for the morning. Before I do that, it occurred to me that there might be some newer members who aren't aware of what we've been going through as a congregation for the past several months. But several months ago, the elders felt the need to make sure that this congregation, as we moved into the next 5-10 years, was ready to encounter the changes that's coming to North Texas and to Denison, and that we continue to be the church that God wants and intends for us to be. And so we secured the services of the Seibert Institute for Church Ministry, which is part of the College of Biblical Studies at Abilene Christian University, to help us to make a plan, to lead us through the process of making a plan to take us through the immediate future. And many of you have provided input and participated in that plan, in that planning process. Barry Stevens is an associate with the Seibert Institute, and he and his wife Debbie have been here before, so he won't be new to many of you, but to those who are new to us, then Barry might be new. But anyway, Barry has been working with us over the last several months and going through the process of making this plan for the future for Park Avenue. And he's got Todd's included a bio of him in the messenger today. You know, he's been a minister at the Monterey Church of Christ for 20 plus years. So any preacher that can stay that long any place has got something on the ball. So, but Barry, we're glad to have you and Debbie with us today, and he's going to talk with you this morning and bring up a lot of the things about the process that we've just been through.
Well, first of all, George, thank you for those kind words of introduction. Debbie and I are delighted to be with you today. This is my fifth trip to this area to do some interaction with this church's leadership, the third Sunday, I think, that we have been at Park Avenue. And you have blessed and encouraged us every time we have been here, so thank you for the warm way that you have welcomed us and for the way that you have encouraged us in these moments of worship today. I want to begin by simply commending not just this church, but your leadership in particular for having the kind of foresight to hit the pause button and say, you know, lots of things are coming in the next 5 to 10 years. We do want to make sure that we plan appropriately, that we are prepared for where God is leading us, changes that are taking place in your community as Denison gets ready to experience some pretty significant population growth. And obviously some changes in the life of this church over the next several years as ministry staff transitions take place. Nothing that is happening today or tomorrow. But again, I commend the leadership for being willing to take that step, to step back and to say we want to plan appropriately. And so as George said, not only have I had the wonderful privilege of working with the elders and staff over the last several months, you were also invited to be a part of this process through a couple of different tools. One was a church health assessment that ACU developed a few years ago that a number of churches throughout our country have taken. And I'll share some of the data from that assessment with you this morning. Copies of that PowerPoint presentation are also available for you. You can download it. You can pick up a copy in the office this week as well. There were about 200 of you who participated in that assessment. And so again, I honor you because of the ways you've been involved in this process. And then there were over 100 of you who participated in focus groups that were led by your shepherds, where a variety of questions were posed. I'm also going to be sharing some of that information this morning. Hopefully, I'm not going to bore you to death. I'm going to move pretty quickly through some of the material. But again, those documents will be available to you if you want to peruse them at greater depth a bit later. I want to begin by reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. If you were to hear me preach on a regular basis, you would discover very quickly that Ephesians is one of my favorite books in the entire New Testament. And I think one of the reasons is because Paul speaks to the important role of the church, the body of Christ. And he begins here in chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, one sentence in the original text with an incredible prayer of thanksgiving. And I offer this prayer of thanksgiving today for the Park Avenue Church. Paul said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Amen. I love reflecting on that prayer of thanksgiving because Paul, from the get-go in this letter to the church in Ephesus, reminds that church, reminds us that we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And Paul enumerates a number of those blessings in this opening prayer. He talks about the fact that we have been chosen, we have been predestined, we have been redeemed, we have been forgiven. The Holy Spirit has been placed in us as a deposit, guaranteeing our future inheritance.
Amen.
And as Paul begins to unfold this letter, then he will build upon that prayer of thanksgiving to remind the folks in Ephesus that God has given them incredible gifts. That the Christ who came and who was resurrected from the dead has given the body of Christ gifts in order that the body might be built up, in order that the body might grow. And so I stand before you today having this wonderful privilege of partnering with your leadership, of partnering with you, of gaining some insights into the life of this church. I stand before you today reminding you of the blessings that you enjoy in Christ, reminding you that God has blessed this church with incredible gifts. Look to the history of this church, and God has brought you in so many positive directions. And as I reflect upon what I've learned about you these last several months, I believe that God has you positioned for incredible things to happen in the future as well. And so again, you were invited to be a part of this process where some of you, 200 plus of you, participated in this church health assessment. And again, I'm going to move very, very quickly through these slides. Again, hopefully you'll take the opportunity to do some reflection upon the results of this assessment just a bit later as well. Abilene Christian University developed the assessment, and the goal of the assessment, go ahead to the next slide, the goal of the assessment is to measure nine aspects or nine factors of church life or church health. And as we walk through the results of the assessment that 200 plus of you completed, you'll notice different color coding. And so anything that is coded with red would be an area, not necessarily a weakness, but an area where perhaps you need to give attention as you think about the future of this congregation. Anything that is coated with yellow is an area where you're doing well, even though it may be an area where you need to continue to enhance what you're doing in those particular areas. And any area where you scored with a green indicates that you are doing extremely well in that category. Simply, again, an area that you want to say, hey, we're doing well, but let's continue to give attention to what we're doing in those areas so that we continue to bless one another and reach out to our community. Next slide will, in a visible way, share with you that there's one area where you scored in the red zone. In other words, we need to do some growing in that area. There are five areas where you scored in yellow and four areas where you scored in green, where you're doing incredibly well. Next slide will also give you a visible indication of those three areas that are just really good strengths in the life of this church. Areas related to budget and finance and facilities, related to worship, related to spiritual formation and discipleship. And then the area where perhaps there's the greatest challenge facing you is in the area of family stages, and I'll clarify that in just a bit. But family stages would range all the way from the work that you do with children to the work that you do with senior adults. Next slide gives you a percentage score for those nine factors. And again, I'm moving quickly. Hopefully you can see that. But you scored at least 68% in all nine categories. To put that in a very, very positive twist, and I want to do that because compared to most churches that have taken this church health assessment, you have scored extremely well. Doesn't mean you're a perfect church, you know that, but it does mean you are a healthy church, and I commend you because of that. And so the area where you scored lowest, again, related to family stages at 68%, you'll also notice that there are three categories where you scored above 80%. Again, incredible strengths in the life of this church. What I'm going to do very, very quickly is move through all nine factors and make just a couple of observations regarding each one of them. And so first of all, related to the mission and the vision, the values, the goals of the Park Avenue Church, your responses to the questions under that heading indicate that Park Avenue has a clear mission, indicates that your mission as a church family is advancing the work of the kingdom of God in this place. And again, I honor you because of that. And that may sound rather simple at one level, but I'll tell you very, very quickly that there are so many churches in our fellowship that really fundamentally have no clue as to what their mission is. Now, at one level, it ought to be obvious to all of us that we're called to do the will of God. At another level, it is asking the question of, so what is the Park Avenue Church of Christ, located in Denison, Texas, North Texas, what is the mission of the Park Avenue Church of Christ? And at least for those of you who responded to this assessment, you indicated that the vision, the mission, the goals of this church are clearly understood by this church, and that those mission and vision type statements are advancing the kingdom of God in this area. You scored lowest, not real low, but you scored lowest in that category related to a question regarding innovation. Are you as a church open to change, open to innovation? Which is always a great challenge for any church to face as we think about stepping into our community and trying to reach more and more people for Jesus. Second category, ministries, activities. In other words, ministries that are in place at Park Avenue and your involvement, your level of commitment in those areas. Questions related to that category indicated that ministries are in place that are meeting the needs both of the church family and of your community, and that members have the opportunity to use their gifts as they engage in those ministries. Again, you scored extremely well in that category, even though it would be at the yellow level. Room to grow, but you're doing well. Third category, where you scored lowest, is what is referenced as stages of life ministry, family stages. ministry that you're doing all the way from the smallest to the oldest. Here's what I want you to hear me say very, very clearly as we talk about this category. And you can see it represented on the screen. When you began talking about children's ministry and the life of this church, you scored extremely high. When you talk about youth ministry and the life of this church, you scored extremely high. And again, I commend you, even in the focus group conversations, responses paralleled what we saw with the church health assessment, that so many good things are going on in children's ministry and in youth ministry. What brought the scores down overall under this category had to do with, so what are we doing with singles ministry? What are we doing to bless young couples or young adults? What are we doing to bless parents? What about ministry to senior adults? Again, please don't see the results as, hey, you're doing a horrible job in all of those areas. See the results as representing, here are some areas that need some attention, some areas where we can grow. And so as I think even about recommendations that I've made to the leadership to this point, giving attention to how can we minister more effectively in healthier ways to that broad range of ages that exist both in our church family and in our community. Next category, spiritual formation, discipleship, outreach, specific areas where you scored so high. You're engaged in Scripture, you're seeking God's will, you're serving, you're praying for one another. This church family helps you grow. Lowest area, even though I know many of you are involved in small groups, lowest area from those who participated in the assessment had to do with levels of engagement with small groups. Again, opportunities to build relationships and to foster spiritual growth. Next category is worship. And I'll testify to this one because, again, we've had the privilege of being with you on three Sundays. What happens when you gather to worship God says so much about the overall life of this church. Worship that is engaging and uplifting. Worship that changes you as you walk with God and as you walk with one another. What is interesting, far right-hand side, is you scored lowest in this particular category with a question related to how comfortable are you inviting others to worship? Only 58% of those who responded said you were comfortable inviting others to worship or that you do so on any kind of regular basis. And so I would just hit a footnote there and encourage you as you think about the ways that this church family blesses you, would encourage you to be open to inviting others, encouraging others to join you week after week. Next one, congregational culture and values. Second lowest category in terms of overall percentages, but it's the category that suggests that morale is high in the life of this church. Members are committed to this church. They are loyal. There is effective organization when you begin talking about ministries. The lowest areas, lowest responses to some of the questions in this category had to do with the challenge of keeping and recruiting volunteers, which, by the way, most every church faces. The recognition that there are some cliques, and so how do we continue to invite and to embrace those who are new, that newcomers at times may struggle as to how they can get involved, be incorporated into the life of this church. Next category has to do with leadership, and there are two slides here. First slide, leadership of this church, which would represent both your elders and your church staff. Leadership shows integrity, works well together, empowers members. Folks feel comfortable talking to the leaders. Leaders communicate well. Again, I commend your leaders because of the ways that you responded to the questions in this category. Lowest score here, leaders sometimes may struggle adapting to change. But I've got to tell you as well that I've loved conversations that I've had with your elders as they've talked about changes that have taken place in the life of this church over the last several decades. It's not so much a resistance to change as it is the pace of change that takes place. Because as all of you would know very, very quickly, change can often bring the greatest source of conflict in the life of any church. Second slide related to leadership. Leadership understands the needs of the church and the community, respects different views. Lowest area handles criticism well. But don't hear that as a negative, either as a church or as a group of elders, because very few of us handle criticism really, really well, right? And so a matter, again, of recognizing areas where we have strengths, areas where perhaps we need to do some growing. Eighth category, church relationships. How do you feel about one another? How do you feel about your relationships with one another? And again, this sense of belonging, the sense of unity that exists in the life of this church, represented so well by the way you scored in that category. Lowest area had to do with conflict again. Not so much that there is conflict that exists, but the challenge of how do we deal with conflict when it does arise. And then the last category, budget or finances and facilities. And I got to tell you, I was just blown away because you scored higher in this category than you did anything else. And so I guess, Basil, we can pass contribution baskets again and again.
Amen.
And again. It's a category that speaks to the generosity of this church. It is a category that speaks to what these facilities are all about as you utilize these facilities day after day. And I've been here three times on site, and so I can tell you how overwhelmed I am by the way you use this building, the ways you use the Ark. And so again, I commend you for all of those areas. All righty, very, very quickly, and this again is based upon the 200 or so of you that responded to this assessment. Level of involvement, 78% or more of you, your level of involvement is average to very high. Next category, level of attendance. 96% of you attend at least once a week, 66% more than once a week. Next one, length of membership. Almost 70% of those who responded to the assessment have been here for 10 or more years. Again, that speaks so well of a church family. Next category, my primary source of spiritual nourishment, related to the sermon, related to personal study. And then this next category, just really, really a fun slide. What do you like most about Park Avenue? Categories related to worship, to ministries, to leadership, to Bible classes, to youth ministry, to children's ministry. Almost 50% of you checked all of the above. Again, that speaks so well of what's going on in the life of this church. Next slide, what members like least. Almost 50% checked. I can't think of anything I dislike. Now, you might lie about other things too. I'm not sure. But again, that speaks so well of all the different things going on in the life of this church. What is interesting, if you can see it from where you are, the highest area beyond that you don't dislike anything had to do with it's difficult to find a place to belong. And so hear that again as you think about reaching out and embracing and inviting others. Next category, age of those who participated in the assessment. Over 80% who responded were at least 45 years of age, about 50% over age 65. There's obviously a diversity of ages at Park Avenue. At the same time, in many respects, you are becoming an aging congregation. And so how do we minister to those who are younger? How do we minister to young adults, young families? And we'll talk more about that in just a bit. Race and ethnic backgrounds, 90% plus. Lost my place here. 94% white. Education, next slide, over 60% have a bachelor's degree. Next category, marital status, over 70% are married, about 20% divorced or widowed, 6% who are single who have never married. Employment status, 40% working full-time, over 40% retired. Again, speaks to the diversity of ages, but speaks to the fact that the overall demographics of the church is in an aging category. gender. Of those who responded, 59% female, 38% male. That's always the case. You women are always much better responding to assessments than men are. And then kind of a final category, a summary of the factors. Go ahead to the next
and
one, if you
serving.
Will. A summary of the factors in terms of how your elders, your six elders, responded versus the rest of you who took the assessment. And you'll notice that there is a very close similarity across the board with all of those. In fact, in all of those areas, except one, your elders scored higher than you do. Indicating many times they may have some insights that the rest of the members may not have. But you scored higher when it comes to the need for attention to family ministry. And so again, hear that thread as I share results with you. Alrighty. Not a perfect church, but a church that is incredibly healthy. And that's kind of a broad stroke as you participated in the church health assessment. What I want to move to now very quickly has to do with the questions that were posed in the congregational focus groups. If you participated in those groups, you will remember the questions, I hope. If you didn't, I want you to think about how you might respond to the questions that were posed in those focus groups. Question number one was, how would you describe the Park Avenue Church? What's the best part of our congregation's DNA? And what would you want a first-time guest or member of the community to know about us? Participants across the board responded with such healthy comments related to the warmth and the unity and the family spirit that exist in the life of this church. Reference was made to different ministries. Reference was made to worship. Reference was made to the fact that Park Avenue has a really good reputation in your community. And again, I honor you and bless you because of that. Question number two, in what ways do you see Park Avenue living out its mission and vision? What do you value most about your ministries and programs? What persons or stories come to mind that illustrate Park Avenue's mission? And again, as it relates to what's happening internally, reference was made to children's ministry, youth ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry. In terms of what is happening as you reach out to your community, so many comments related to things like the Barnabas Center, the Turning Point Ministry in Durant, the Pause, the Wednesday night meals, the Christian Theater Workshop, youth ministry activities that reach out to the community, the use of the Ark that I referenced earlier. And so both internally and externally, your responses indicated you believe this church is leaning into its mission. But even beyond that, lots of responses related to worldwide missions. Not only the financial support, and so many of you said, hey, Park Avenue is a generous church, represented among other things in your annual grace offering for missions, but also in the ways that so many members in this church have participated in mission trips. Question number three, what difference does being a part of this community at Park Avenue make in your life? Again, such healthy responses, with most of the responses having to do with the transitions that we all experience in life. And so, when my family and I moved to Denison, when my family began having children, when we experienced challenges in our lives with our kids, when we fostered children, over and over again, stories and comments made in those focus groups regarding the ways that this church family has blessed your life. Question number four, what are the biggest challenges that we face as we pursue our mission? And really two things stood at the top of the list in terms of responses. There were numerous responses, but two things that stood at the top of the list. One was the realization that this community may well explode population-wise in the next few years. I know that the school system has done an enormous amount of research regarding what that population growth is going to do to the school system. Well, what's it going to do to churches in this area? And I got to tell you very quickly, even though I believe you are poised to grow, Even though I believe the potential to grow is there in such powerful ways, I've got to tell you at the same time, simply because a community is growing population-wise does not automatically mean that a church grows numerically.
That's right.
And spiritually. And so how do we position ourselves appropriately to grow as we look to the future? And so many things that are kind of under that umbrella. What about facilities? I know that you've got a number of folks who are out of town this weekend because of retreats and a long weekend break for the school system, but you're sitting in an auditorium on a typical Sunday morning that is 80, 85, 90% full. You're in a building where classroom space is maxed out. And so some of the challenges related to the future have to do with facility needs. And then, as you are aware in conversations that have taken place more recently, the reality that at some point in the near future, there will be some retirements taking place with ministry staff members. And so how do we prepare for that appropriately? And so growth of the community, the building and facility needs, ministry to young families, staff needs, maintaining our biblical values, all of those were referenced in answer to this question number four. Question number five, as we anticipate staff retirements and transitions in the next 3 to 5 years, what specific areas need to be addressed as we think about future staff members? We would very quickly tell you that my take, as I've looked at the data from the focus groups, from the church health assessment, my conversations with elders and ministry staff, you as a church, there may be a few exceptions, but you as a church respect the leadership in this church. And you value deeply those who are part of the ministry staff and the ways that they serve and lead and guide you as you work in a variety of ministries. And so even thinking about what do those kind of changes mean for us as we think about the next 5, 10 years, that may bring some level of anxiety. But I'm here today to tell you that the level of anxiety that I see in your leadership is minimal. And that's why, again, I commend them, because this early on, they are taking the steps to ask, how can we prepare appropriately as we look to some of the transitions that will take place? Your responses to this question included things like, we want to make sure that solid biblical preaching continues to take place. We want to make sure that worship is vibrant, that youth ministry and children's ministry are at the top of the list. But again, responses that surfaced needs that exist when it comes to those family stages of life. How can we minister to young families, to young adults, to singles, to parents, to older members, etc.? And so lots of different responses related to the challenges that are before you as you look to the future. And then the final question, as we anticipate growth in both the church and our community, what is one specific hope that you have for Park Avenue's future? And above everything else, your responses were, we want to make sure that we continue to honor the unity that exists in this body, that we continue to be the warm, embracing, loving church family that we are, that we maintain our biblical values, that we maintain our heritage, that we look to the future with a sense of what God is going to do and believing that God is going to do even beyond what we ask or imagine, but that sense of hoping and dreaming together. I've had the privilege for the last 20 years of teaching church leadership at Lubbock Christian University, Lubbock, where I did church ministry for over 20 years. One piece of that church leadership course is a piece where I talk about life stages of a church, where a church begins with a dream, where a church is involved in ministry, hopefully full hilt ahead. But many times where a church may struggle to maintain a sense of its mission, where it may lose its dream, and so folks become nostalgic. Folks begin to think about what it was like 10 years ago. And if we could just go back, rather than dreaming about what God has in store for us in the future. And so as we talk about that, I reference a life cycle stage that Robert Dale developed a number of years ago, where he said the best time for a church to dream again is when everything is going full steam ahead, when everybody's involved in ministries, where new ministries are being created every time you turn around. And that's my sense of where Park Avenue is. And it's a great time to dream again. And so I commend your leadership for being willing to hit that pause button and to say, let's dream, let's imagine where God can take us in the future. Just a couple of overall observations. Leave it right there, if you will, for the moment. A couple of overall observations. My conversations with your leadership, the responses with the focus groups, the church health analysis. Park Avenue is a healthy church with so much potential and so much promise for the future. Again, your scores on that church health assessment are considerably higher than most churches that have taken that assessment through the years. You're a church that is characterized by warmth and unity that embodies its mission both internally and externally. Leaders are well respected and trusted. But you do face some challenges. Challenges as you reach out to your community. Challenges internally as you continue to try to honor your relationships with one another and to foster spiritual growth in one another's lives. And so a number of areas that your leadership will be giving attention to, not just today or tomorrow, but a process that will continue to unfold in the years to come. And I use that word process because it is a process. And I'm excited again that so many of you have been involved in the process to this point, and others of you will have opportunities to be involved in very, very specific ways. I've made three general recommendations to your leadership. You can go ahead to that next slide. Three specific recommendations to your leadership. One is that you give attention in very specific ways to staff transitions and staff needs. Not only what do those transitions look like, but what are the needs, the roles that need to be filled as you think about the next 5-10 years. Secondly, facility needs assessment. What might we do to utilize these facilities, to add on to these facilities, whatever it may look like, in order to accommodate room for growth, room for more ministry, room for more activity. And then a third area that I've simply labeled mission, leadership, and ministries. Stepping back again and evaluating ministries that are in place. What's working well? What's not working well? Are there ministries that need to go away? Are there new ministries that need to be launched? What is our overall mission? And are our ministries honoring that overall mission? Well, that's a lot of material, very, very quickly. Again, hopefully not too many of you have gone to sleep. But I want to circle back. You heard those words in Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul reminded us of the incredible blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. I want to nail one other piece to that. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Paul in chapters 2 and 3 talks about the role of the church. That it's in the church where Jew and Gentile are one. That it's in the church that we are built together to become this holy temple in which the Spirit of God dwells. And then as Paul reflects on God's purpose, he says his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In a world where the church is often spoken of in disparaging ways, Paul says it is through the church that God's wisdom and God's power and God's goodness are made known. It is through the church. It is through Park Avenue in Denison in the North Texas community. God trusted you and me enough to say, it is through you. It is through you. And I hope you hear that clearly as you think about your future. And so I leave with you another prayer of Paul, just as I began with a prayer. My favorite text in all of Scripture, Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. Paul says, it's for this reason that I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I want you to know the love of Christ. I want you to be filled with the power of the Spirit of God who is at work in your life. And then these two concluding verses. Now to Him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power, not ours, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. And so what are you asking? What are you imagining as you think about tomorrow and next month and next year and the next 3 to 5 years, the next 10 years at Park Avenue? My challenge would be, don't be afraid to dream. Don't be afraid to ask and to imagine, because our God is able to do beyond what we ask or imagine. Amen. And to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Thank you for this marvelous privilege of working with you, and I look forward to some other opportunities in the next few months, working with your leadership in particular, but may God's blessings be with you. And I'd like to close by offering a prayer of blessing over you before we sing again. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful. Grateful for your love and your grace that reach out to us, that has brought us from darkness into your marvelous light. And so, God, we thank you for forgiveness and redemption. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. And we thank you for your church. As imperfect as we are, we know that you have a perfect plan. And so today I thank you for the Park Avenue Church, for its history and for the ways that you have been at work through the years. And now as this church looks to the future, I pray that you'll bless them with wisdom and courage and power, that you would help them to ask and to imagine, to dream as they think about where you will lead them in the future. And God, to you be the honor and the glory and the praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Be thou